And but by the way, high five your neighbor and say, it's just amazing to see you today. Let them know. Give them a high five. And if they fell asleep, wake them back up. I'm kidding. There's no reason to sleep in church. Amen. It is good to see you. My name is Pastor Kylan. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. Been with Only Believe for, 28, 29 years. Executive director role here at the church. And I'm glad to be with you this morning. A couple things I want to highlight for you before we get our Bibles out. Go ahead and get your Bible out, and you can open to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. But a couple things I ought to let you know about today. Don't forget about, and they talked about it in church news, Growth Track is happening right after church. Growth Track is for those of you who you know you want to become a member of the church or you're thinking about it. Head after church to room 306. We'll be waiting for you. That there's a lunch. There's some child care. It takes about an hour to do. Just want to let you know about the church. Answer all the questions you have about our church and get connected in the church. So Growth Track's happening today. If you signed up, or even if you didn't sign up, go ahead and come out for that. Also, our next semester of small groups starts this Wednesday night. So if you haven't signed up for a small group, as you leave today, head out to the Welcome Center. They'll help you out. Get signed up for a small group. It's an amazing part of who we are as a church. We love to break down in size and get to know one another, discuss the scriptures together, and you just simply don't want to miss that. So small groups, sign-ups right after church today. And an announcement that I think many of you are aware of. It's more of a somber announcement, but longtime church member, as long as I've been here, Harold Hughes went home to be with Jesus this past week. And how many of y'all know Harold? And I said this to Jeremy the other day. You know when you say there's the good guys, Harold was one of the best of the good guys. You know what I'm talking about? And Harold finished his race and went home to be with Jesus, and Jeremy and Olivia and his son Jeremy, his wife Olivia, their family's with us, part of our family of faith. Tomorrow, from 12 to 2, there is a visitation and viewing for Harold. It's at the Fisher Cheney Funeral Home in Troy. Then funeral service at 2 p.m., followed by a celebration of life at 4 o'clock at the Lincoln Community Center in Troy. So if you're able to be a part of that, we encourage you to do so. And again, Harold, he's just one of the best, and we're going to miss him. But we know that he was greeted with the well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. All right. So your Bibles are out, I hope, and we're going to get into them in just a second here. We're sort of on a delayed message today because I am closing out our series on prayer that we were in the month of January. Certainly, church got canceled last week because of all the weather, but we wanted to finish the series out. Next week, by the way, and there's cards on the pew that you saw, next week we're starting a series on miracles. So take that invite card, invite somebody to church to be with you next week. It's going to be a great series starting next Sunday. Pastors Nicole and Randy are on vacation. They'll be back next week. Pastor Nicole will be in the pulpit with a series beginning on miracles. But before we get there, we're going to finish our series on prayer. And we're delayed a week in it, and certainly we're delayed in a week that we finished up our 21 days of prayer last Saturday. Let me make a couple of comments about 21 days of prayer. First of all, thank you so much for your participation in that. And I say this with trust and with expectancy that we believe that God has heard us in our prayers. We believe he is responding to our prayers. And simply, we pray because we follow Jesus and we are a pray-first church. Just because 21 days of prayer are over, obviously we don't stop praying. We continue to pray. But continue to pray because you choose to do so. Okay? And it's our desire that you continue to do so, to pray first in all things, because it is simply wise to do so. See, our desire is that you have a rhythm of life of prayer. What I mean by rhythm of life is just the way that you live. It's a part of who you are. It's not something you try to stick in when you get there, but it's a part of who you are. God gave us ways of connecting to him. Worship and prayer and the scriptures and fasting, all these different things have a rhythm of life with this stuff. It's a way you live, so much so that when you miss it, you get out of rhythm, you know, got to get back to it, right? See, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Nick, if you'll throw that on the screen for me, please. Thank you. By the way, Nick was a part of our fantasy football league, and he did not win. All right, so it said neither did I, but I almost won. Anyways, all right. Colossians 4, 2, it's a simple encouragement from Paul. Devote yourselves to what? Prayer. So we are to be people of prayer. Prayer is simply a way of life of communication with God. How many know salvation is about relationship? Prayer is one of the avenues of the consistency of communion with God. So we are to devote ourselves to prayer. And that word devote, well, when you have devotion to something, you're after. You want to do it. You have a desire to do it. Desire without discipline ends up nowhere, by the way, so you discipline yourself to it. Motivation only lasts so much when you don't put discipline to your motivation. Devote yourself to a life of rhythm of communicating with God consistently. Amen? Devote yourself to prayer. Now, today's topic about devoting yourself to prayer, they asked me if I would teach on this. To pray while you wait. How many of y'all like to wait? Nobody. My wife would tell you that one of the things that the Holy Spirit must consistently work on me is the word patience. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way. Love, joy, peace, patience. That we must learn to be patient people, because simply this, sometimes in some things you will have to wait, and we don't like it. As a matter of fact, the more our society becomes technological, the faster things can come to us. I think about kids in school. You know, they can jump on the internet and find anything. Me and you, we had to go into the library, pull out the things, work the Dewey Decimal System, hope there's a book in the library dealing with the subject I wanted, and go from there. But we had to work at stuff a little bit harder. We don't like to wait. We want things now. We want everything shoved in a microwave and it come out better than it should be because we made it in a microwave. We want things now. But there will be some things sometimes where you're going to have to wait. So we must learn to pray while we wait. So let's talk about that today. Now, I want to set the table by highlighting two words. One of them I already said, but let's add another one to it. These two words kind of overlay this entire message today. Those words are patience and perseverance. And if you look in the scriptures, you will find those words or the way those words are shown a lot. Patience and perseverance. We want our prayers to be the easy button. If I pray easy button, it's done and there it is. That's not the way things work mostly. You must develop, it's a thing of maturity, by the way. Patience and perseverance. By the way, perseverance shows up in the fruit of the Spirit. It's called faithfulness. Patience, faithfulness, perseverance. Now, both of those have to do with the working of the kingdom of God in our world. So I want you to track with me on this. Both of them have to do with how the kingdom of God works in our world. When we think of patience, we often think of patience as how I have to learn how to deal with somebody. I have to be patient with somebody because they get on my nerves or something like that. Yes, there's that kind of patience in the scriptures. But there's another kind of patience we find in scripture that has to do with the kingdom of God and how it works through our world, and we must be patient as it does so. And while we're patient in that, then we must learn how to persevere and stay faithful to it as it's working its way through. Jesus, in some parables about the kingdom of God, one way he says, the kingdom of God is like a plant that grows. When something grows, you need patience and you need perseverance. Another parable that Jesus talks about concerning the kingdom of God, he likens it to a woman who's working yeast through the dough. Yeah, have you ever worked on putting yeast through the dough so it rises and you can bake it later? It takes some work, patience, and perseverance. You see, there's a couple ways that we must learn to pray while we wait. Okay, a couple ways we've got to learn to pray while we wait. Both of them have to do with patience and perseverance. Let me talk to you about the first way. And this is one I really want you to catch this because it's very important, but we won't talk about this a lot. See, we are right now in what is called the church age. The church age is bookended by the ascension of Jesus. So here we are. And what are we waiting for? We're waiting for him to come again. And how many know he's coming? Christ has died. The great statement of faith, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is coming again. We're in the church age. Part of patience and perseverance concerning the kingdom of God is that we pray while we wait for him to return. The kingdom of God, in a big picture way, is never in a rush. And this is a lesson we must learn. I'm going to give you a couple examples of what I mean by that. The prophet Isaiah, in all the things that he prophesied a lot of stuff that had to do with the nation of Israel, Judah-Israel split at the time he was alive. But he also prophesied about the coming of the Messiah later, right? So the book of Isaiah is full of messianic prophecy. The kingdom of God is never in a rush. Do you realize Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Messiah and Jesus didn't come until 700 years later? The kingdom of God, in a big picture way, is never in a rush. Jesus, as we just said, he ascended. We're waiting for his return. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father in all glory with all things underneath him in power and authority 2,000 years ago. And we are eagerly awaiting his return. The kingdom of God, in a big picture sense, is never in a rush. And we struggle with that because we want everything here and now. There's something called presentism when it comes to the Bible. All prophecy and all things has to be fulfilled in my lifetime. That's not true. You know how many times growing up I've heard somebody say, well, I just know Jesus is coming back in my lifetime, and they're dead. And Jesus hasn't come back yet. How many know what I'm talking about? Patience and perseverance. We know the plant is growing. We know the yeast is being worked through the dough. But yet the kingdom is now, but the kingdom is not quite yet. It's here and working, but it's not here in the fullness of final fulfillment. So while we wait, patience and perseverance. That we stay to the task while we wait. Do you realize that the vast majority of the things that you pray about are temporary? You know that. The vast majority of things you need in this world right now ultimately are temporary. Let me tell you what I mean by that. How many remember the story in the Bible of Lazarus being raised from the dead? Remember? Apparently Jesus was close with Lazarus, his sisters Mary and Martha, and we find this great miracle in the Bible where he receives word that Lazarus died. And remember, Jesus was not in a hurry to get there. He took his time. Lazarus is dead for a few days, right? And Mary and Martha come to meet Jesus, and Jesus makes this statement. And you don't need to turn there. Let me just read it to you. It's in John 11. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Great statement. Do you believe this? Now, before Jesus says this, he makes a comment to the disciples that Lazarus falling asleep will be for God's glory. So Lazarus is raised from the dead. Incredible miracle, right? It was a sign that the kingdom of God is here and present. But the raising of Lazarus from the dead was temporary, because Lazarus is now dead again. The vast majority of things that we pray about ultimately are temporary for the life that we're living now. See, miracles, and again, we're starting a series on miracles next week. Miracles are a sign that the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is working, but they're also a signpost for something that's coming later. It's a signpost that Jesus is returning and he's going to make all things new. And at that point, listen, that point, there will be no crying and no more tears and no more pain and no more sickness, all that stuff. Later. But it's not fully here now. How many know what I'm talking about? And when Jesus makes that great statement, I'm the resurrection and life, he wasn't just talking about that miracle of Lazarus, but he's pointing, this miracle that's about to happen, it's pointing to something that's coming later. And we pray while we wait in patience and perseverance for what is to come. If you have that big picture backdrop to everything we're doing now, it helps you. And by the way, all things being made new later, it's not the plan B just in case it all doesn't happen now. That's been the plan all along. That's the plan this whole time. Yes, we experience the incredible power of God now, but it's pointing us somewhere. So when you pray for things in your life today, in one way, you're also pulling towards this life to come when all things are made new and you stay in faith. Because there's times you're going to have to wait for this stuff now. Sometimes. I mean, I want to get in that. Big picture understanding. So we pray while we wait. Well, because things are coming that will finally fix all things. But another way that we pray while we wait, here's the second thing. Let's go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Well, I'll turn there. A parable of Jesus. And just in case anybody thought prayer's an easy button, here comes Jesus throwing out a parable to put some context here. Let's read this together. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always do what? And not do what? If life was an easy button, why would you have to continue to pray and not give up? He's letting you know, don't give up. Stay in patience and persevere. So here's the parable that Jesus gives us about this. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with his plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time the judge refused. But finally the judge said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Have you ever had a toddler in your home that never stops bugging you with questions? Just does not stop. And eventually they just wear you out. Like the toddler comes in, it's 9 in the morning. Can I have a cookie? No. Can I have a cookie? No. Can I have a cookie? No. You set them in the other room, you turn something on from the watch, they walk back in halfway through that. Can I have a cookie? No. How many know sometimes you eventually get wore out and give them a cookie? Just leave me alone. Just have your cookie. Get out of here. Well, that's what this widow's doing with this unjust judge. Verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see they get justice and quickly. But however, notice the however there, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, this parable, there's an unjust judge who has the power and authority to grant a favorable response to her. You have a widow who nobody's helping her. She's not wealthy. She has no power in and of herself. And this widow simply did only what she can do. She kept going to the judge over and over again until finally she wore him out and he granted her request. That we should always learn to pray and never give up. Parables that Jesus tells never draw perfect lines. They're given to make a statement, get a point, to settle in on you as the story settles in on you. See, God, unlike the unjust judge, he is just. The widow, powerless and helpless, well, that's just like us. Right? But you going to God, you understand that you're not bugging him like the unjust judge was perceiving the widow come. You don't bug God. But yet we're told to keep coming to him in prayer and bringing things. Listen to me. The parable ends up not being about the judge. It ends up being about the widow, you. See, there are times that God does intervene, and sometimes it happens suddenly, just like the parable says. But we are taught relationally, and now listen, if you understand that prayer is relational connection with God, and that's the basis for everything that we pray, it really helps you when it comes to things like this. We're taught by Jesus to pray our what? Father. Not our God way out there in the sky somewhere, and I hope you know who I am and pay attention to me. What is Father? Good Father. Intimate relationship. We're going to him is never bugging him. Matter of fact, when he tells you to pray and not give up, he's inviting you to come and be with him. And what we begin to see in the parable then is this. The parable is not about God, but it's about you. Because when you pray and you don't give up, it keeps you in relationship with him. And it keeps you coming to his presence. Did God hear you the first time that you prayed? Did he hear you? Yeah, God, again, he's not distant, he's not distracted, he's not busy doing other stuff. He heard you the first time. So why do you got to keep coming back? It's about you, not him. It's about you staying in faith while you wait. Do you know how people get frustrated when their prayers don't get answered that fast? When they start, they miss how the kingdom of God works in the world, and it's like a plant that grows at times, and sometimes it's the yeast working through the dough, and sometimes it's just not the easy button thing. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer, and there was a quick turnaround on that prayer? Anybody? Yes, me. I've had them. How many of you same people have prayed stuff, and you're still waiting? See, you know how often we get frustrated, disillusioned, doubt really starts to creep in because we don't get the quick turn, the suddenness of an answer to a prayer. See, we keep coming, not because God didn't hear, not because he's not working on our behalf, but it's about you continuing to be in his presence while you wait, because that's the best place you need to be. It's about you not giving up. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to talk about faith in this in just a moment. Faith is active belief and trust. That's what faith is. Rubber meets the road definition of faith. It's I believe and I trust, and I've given my life entirely over to it. I believe that much and I trust that much, that I've given my entire life to God, that he can have his way. That's faith. I believe. I trust. Sometimes when there's delay on the answer to your prayer in the here and now, it starts to shake around our belief and our trust. Continuing to pray while you wait keeps you there, because I've seen in pastoring as long as I have, people pray things, they don't get an answer, they get disillusioned, and they quit coming to God, and they start to walk away from him. But we are to stay in prayer because it's about you. In other words, it keeps your faith alive and active and guards against doubt creeping in. All the while in the background, this whole thing is, but we're headed somewhere. He's going to make all things new. Therefore, I trust in that too. You see? Yeah, so we stay in faith. And we stay in active faith and trust because we keep coming in prayer and not giving up. Why is there a delay? Well, we're not going to go down that road because that's a rabbit hole. But I will tell you this. Don't get so caught up in chasing the rabbit hole that you become disillusioned. Because here's what I know. You can get around people and they can say, well, if you just do these five things, everything you pray will happen right now. And I'll say, yeah, don't listen to that. What you need to do is stay in relation. Amen. At the end of the parable, Jesus said all that about, and then he said, but when the Son of Man returns, when Jesus comes back, will he find what on the earth? He didn't say, when I come back, why find everybody who had every prayer answered they prayed? Or perfect in your Christian walk without flaws or troubles. When he returns, will he find people in active belief and trust no matter what? That's what he's looking for. That you are in faith with him. That's what he's looking for. Amen? Yeah. Stay there. Stay there. Even if you're waiting for things that you have prayed for. Stay in faith. But I just have a couple moments left with you. I do want to talk to you about faith concerning this. Now, here, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. This is very important. Faith is not something you have to get something from God. Amen. Faith is a way of life living in relation to God. Prayer is not a transaction like you're at Walmart. Prayer is going to your Father who you are in relationship with and casting your cares upon him. And there's a difference there. Difference. Okay. The Bible says in the book of Romans, faith comes by what? And hearing what? The message of Christ, the word of God. Now, the context of that is that when you hear the word of God, the message of Christ, when you hear the gospel and you respond, faith is birthed in you. That's the context of that saying. The original moment of salvation. Faith is born because of response to what God is doing. From then on, the righteous live by what? Faith is the way that you live in relationship with God. I believe and I trust. And whenever you bring a request to him, you're banking on that relationship. Faith is not like a currency. Anybody have money in your pocket? I'll give it back, I promise. I don't have any money in my pocket. My wife has it all. Okay. Don't view faith like this money. Okay, God, I'm going to come to you, and I hope I have enough. And I'm going to give this to you, and you give me something in return. God is not Walmart. Faith is not money in your pocket. I have no relationship with Walmart other than a transaction. It's someplace I go when I want something. And if all I have is cash in my pocket, but I don't know how much it costs, I hope when I get there I have enough cash to get it. That's not like God at all. God's not a transaction with me. God is my Father, and I'm in relationship with him through faith. And everything I do when I come to him is asking of my Father who's with me because I'm already in relationship with him. And I don't worry about whether or not I have enough. Amen. Jesus said faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. If you want to think about it that way. There are times when Jesus said to disciples or somebody, you have little faith. He's not talking about the size of your faith. He's saying you're distracted from me and my word. You're distracted. I'm here. I'm in relationship with you. I'm here. Depend upon me. Trust me. Believe. Amen? Don't treat faith like a transaction. If you do, you'll get frustrated and disillusioned while you're waiting. Have you ever been at a restaurant? And we were just not long ago, we were out with your two brothers and their wives and some of our nephews in Pennsylvania. It was a Saturday night, Friday night. It was busy. We got there, got what we were going to drink, water. I got a Coke, and we're sitting there. We ordered our food, and we just kept waiting. And how many know? Sometimes in that moment, a lack of patience shows up. And you're getting frustrated that your food's not there. Because my relationship with that restaurant was not personal relationship, it was transaction based. I ordered something, you're going to bring it to me, and I'm going to give you money for it. And when I left, I didn't say, hey, I want to keep in relationship with you guys. Can I have your phone number? No, I was like, I didn't like my food anyways. I'm leaving, I'm not coming back. That's a lot of money for that. We get like that with God because we view prayer as that transaction. We get frustrated. We get upset. We walk away from him. Doubt comes in. We get disillusioned. Our faith and our belief, our trust gets shaken. Patience and perseverance because we pray while we wait, and we don't give up. That we never give up. Colossians chapter 1, let's jump back in here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. I skipped this earlier, I'm coming back to it. Colossians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 9 together. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's high and lofty language there from Paul. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. How many of you want to live a life worthy of the Lord? And how many want to please him in every way? Okay, well, Paul is he's a list maker. If you ever read through his writings, the epistles, he's a list maker. He's always busting out and making lists. And here's a list that he makes that kind of show what it means to live a life worthy of the Lord and live a life that pleases him. Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have what? Endurance, perseverance, and what? Patience. Now watch this. In the midst of needing to live with endurance and patience, and joyfully, joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Part of this life that lives pleasing to God, worthy of him, in maturity is developing endurance, perseverance, and patience. That we stay to the task no matter what. Immaturity flees and runs, cuts and runs for cover. Maturity stands there and keeps going no matter what we're facing in our current circumstances. Amen? So we pray while we wait, and we simply don't give up, because we have a certain trust that what God has said is going to happen. And we're unwavering in that fact. What God has said is going to happen. He is in the process now, and he will make all things new. Do you believe? Do you believe? Let's stand up. In just a minute, I'm going to ask if there's anybody here that needs to give their heart to Jesus this morning. But before we do that, the Bible says to cast our cares upon him. How about in this moment you cast your frustrations upon him? You give over to him. Well, you're troubled because you're waiting. You give, once again, the fullness of your trust to him if that's wavered because you've been waiting. Let's practice staying in that relationship in this moment. Amen? So, Lord, there are so many people here that they've been praying, but yet here they are waiting. And the enemy just loves to mess around in these kind of things. Our own mind at times, without even the help of the devil, has a tendency to get into anxiety and worry and doubt. But Lord, we give these things to you once again, but we don't just give what we've been praying about. We give ourselves to you in trust, because we believe that you have heard and that you're doing in all your sovereignty and wisdom a response to it. We believe and we trust. I pray in this moment that there's a renewed sense of peace in our hearts, contentment. That in this moment, Lord, that where we're finding trouble in our life, that we somehow have that sense of rest in the midst of it. As the psalm says, you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Yes. Like that the Father that picks us up and just reminds us, look, hey, I'm here. That you haven't forgotten about us. You heard, you know. And the call to us, stay in relationship. Stay. That wisdom, because of that, is being built within us. Wisdom. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, that you are the intimate Father, personal with us. knowing us in a way that we don't even know ourselves. That you are with us and you are working for our good. Thank you, Lord. We're reminded of that today. You're not unjust, but you are just. Thank you, Lord. So I pray for peace. I pray for contentment. I pray for a reassurance in our hearts today that God is going to do everything he said he will do. Thank you, Lord. Now, as your eyes are closed, if you're here today and you feel like your heart is far from God, maybe because your doubt was creeping into your life for any number of reasons, your heart is far from God and you need to get back to that thriving relationship with him. Maybe you're here today and you need forgiven of your sins. The Bible declares God is good, he's gracious, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we simply just repent to him, come to him. But that's you today, and you feel like your heart isn't right with God, you feel it's far from God. Slip your hand up so I can see. I see one. Anybody else? Give just a moment here. You can put your hand down. Thank you. So in this moment then, for those that raised your hands up, I'm not going to lead you in a prayer because nothing wrong with that, but I'm not between you and God. It's you and God. And if for whatever reason you raised your hand up, I want you to commit that over to him. If you need forgiveness of your sins, simply ask. If you feel like your heart is far from him, well then, we know that he is drawn near. Say, Lord Jesus, remind me once again who you are. Let him know. Talk to him relationally. That's what prayer is all about. And I know as we're praying these things that he is hearing. Amen. So, Lord, hear our prayers this morning. I thank you, Lord, simply for who you are. You're not just the God of all things, the creator of all things, but you're the one who comes and meets us right where we're at. Thank you. And we praise you today and we worship you today because we trust in you. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Wonderful and good. You've been faithful to me. I strive to live faithful to you. Now I pray this morning you bless us as we leave. You bless us as we came in. You're going to bless us as we go out this week. We're going to lean on you. We're going to live in step with the Holy Spirit. Grant us wisdom as we go this week. Then all that we do in some way, somehow, it simply glorifies you. In Jesus' name, we all say. Prayer team will be down front. They'd love to pray with you if you have prayer needs this morning, so come on and meet them. If not, hey, hit small group sign up on the way out, or if you want to go to Growth Track, head down to room 306. We'd love to meet you there. Be blessed as you go today.